Lugma, no hands, giving brokerage accounts to youngsters. Woohoo. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. But first, there's news that permits to build new houses in a country craving new shelter went up again last month. Let's talk about the real estate market in this pandemic spring with David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we got some new numbers on groundbreaking housing starts, but particularly interesting are the permits for people who want to build new dwellings. Those are running pretty hot.
Building permits were at their second highest level on a monthly basis since 2006. And that really is just one more indicator of a red-hot housing market across the country.
I mean, what was driving this is people getting out of, say, some of the big cities during pandemic for greener pastures in the suburbs. But maybe a different dynamic is coming into play?
I think so. I mean, the pandemic, thankfully, is beginning to show signs of winding down. But I think this one is almost pure economics. There are people who have money they've made in the stock market and other places, money they've saved up. And housing still looks like a great deal right now. I mean, you can still get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 3%. And in the last year, average home prices went up by 10%. We don't have to be an investment genius to figure out that that's a pretty good investment.
Indeed. Not starting to smell a bit of a mania here, though? Those housing prices are really going up in some of those hot cities. It's crazy.
Well, yes. Well, mania among manias. I mean, I think that a little bit of it is fine. But overall, this very loose interest rate policy, this very easy money that the Federal Reserve is pouring all over the economy, I think that is setting up the potential for a bubble. So, you know, it's good news in the economy, but I would like to see the Federal Reserve talk a little bit more about getting back to more normal interest rates so this thing just doesn't overheat.
All right. Well, we'll be vigilant for that kind of talk should it come. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, the chief global strategist there. Thank you.
Anytime.
Now, Fidelity wants teens as young as 13 to start investing. It's now offering a new type of account. Parents can monitor, but kids do the online stock trading. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Well, David, Fidelity says these new savings and investment accounts are about financial literacy. They'll allow teenagers to deposit cash, have a debit card, as well as trade stocks and funds. Once a teen reaches 18 years of age, their account becomes a standard brokerage account. So this certainly is a way of getting a new generation of investors into the Fidelity fold.
Are there any limits placed on these teen accounts?
Well, some. No trading in cryptocurrencies or stock options. Certain ETFs, exchange-traded funds, are also off-limits, those that use borrowed money. But that's really it, David. In fact, there are no limits on how much or how often a teen can trade. Now, we've been seeing brokerage firms expanding their customer base with zero commission trading. Younger people have gotten in, people in their 20s and 30s, especially in the past year, and this is in line with that trend.
What Fidelity is doing here sounds a lot like a custodial account. Those already exist. How's this different?
Well, yes, custodial accounts are also for the benefit of minors, but there the adults are ultimately in charge, the parents or guardians. What Fidelity is saying is that teens will get to make trades without adults having any veto power. That's a big change. Parents are only involved in that they have to have an existing Fidelity account and they can get notifications about what their children are doing.
Nova, thank you. A reminder that Fidelity is a marketplace underwriter. And stock in Ethan Allen Furniture has been on a tear, up 50% this year so far. Maybe it's an investor bet on furniture. Maybe it's that Ethan Allen stock symbol is easily confused by novice traders for a cryptocurrency called Ether. One symbol is ETH. The other one is ETH. Context is everything. On Sunday, 1.9 million travelers went through U.S. airports, a new pandemic high, but still about a quarter lower than you saw in the last May before COVID. But from an airline point of view, it is not the right sort of passengers, as traveling for business remains way down. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Business travelers are about twice as lucrative for the airlines as leisure travelers, but very few of them are booking and boarding right now, says Madhu Unakrishnan at Airline Weekly.
It's starting to come back a little bit with small and medium-sized corporations that need to be out in front of their customers to sell their products. But in terms of the large businesses, it's still pretty moribund.
Unnikrishnan says most companies still aren't even back in the office, so there's probably no place and no one for business travelers to meet in person anyway. Business analyst Andy Challenger says companies have discovered it's productive and cheaper to hold remote meetings, but there will still be a place for business travel.
There's such a deep value that comes from spending time with people not talking about business. Afterwards, when you go out to dinner together, that is really hard to do via Zoom.
The Global Business Travel Association predicts we won't get back to pre-COVID travel levels until 2025. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, the latest lockdown of restaurants in France is set to end. Reporter John Lawrenson, who gets all the good assignments around here, looks at chefs who, during pandemic, are adding French flair to hotel room service.
Bonsoir. A waitress arrives at room 607 of the Maison Alba Pont-Neuf Hotel, balances an enormous tray where she can, and sets out the sort of meal French chefs are famous for. She serves the ricotta ravioli with a green pea coulis and leaves the chicken ballotines with asparagus and warm quinoa and lemon confit salad and the chocolate dessert. Guest Albertine Pal says it's nice dining in while dining out.
I love being able to dine barefoot and with my hair still wet, but making a little effort to dress for dinner nevertheless, because we're tasting such delicious things in such beautiful surroundings.
The cost, about $78 for a meal that cost $50 when it was served in the restaurant. But, says hotel manager Franck Louapre, it's a unique experience.
A lot of guests said, "Oh, it's nice because we can eat with my friend or with my wife a real dinner in our own room."
L'entrée, faut qu'elle soit servie, si elle est servie chaude.
Down in the kitchen, chef Rémi Hainaut tells me the main challenge for him is temperature. Yes, to starters designed to be eaten lukewarm and mains in sturdy casserole dishes to keep them hot. No to ices and fragile creams.
Pas de glace, pas de crème fragile.
Other hotels are trying this too. Paris-based writer Lindsay Tremouda says there could be demand for this post-pandemic.
For some people, including women, when they're traveling by themselves for whatever reason, you know, there's this reluctance to be alone in a restaurant. But I find that often I end up in a hotel restaurant alone simply because the options on room service menus are not developed enough.
The Maison Alba Hotel intends to keep this service after lockdown ends because it's been so popular. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And the International Red Cross is calling on wealthy countries and the pharmaceutical industry to radically change how vaccine is distributed. Speaking to our partners at the BBC today, the head of a Red Cross global task force on COVID says only 2% of the vaccine is going to the world's 50 poorest countries. In some places, frontline healthcare workers still haven't gotten shots. There's news President Biden is sharply increasing the amount of vaccine the U.S. is exporting to low-income countries, sharing 20 million doses of vaccine by the end of next month. Now, we talked to an epidemiologist who was on the team that eradicated smallpox about a new global structure for vaccine allocation. Marketplace.org, if you missed that discussion on the air. Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.